If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26, very familiar scripture. I have prayed and I have asked the Lord to help me be very careful to not miss His Spirit and not miss what He wants for this meeting tonight. Naturally, we as preachers, in closing out a fellowship meeting or camp meeting or revival meeting, we try our best to leave the folks with something that will put a spring in their heel. But today I felt the Lord speak to my heart. And I'll be honest with you, as a minister of the gospel, I feel like God has showed up, done some great things this week. But I feel like there's some folks that God really had intended on helping you, and some just ain't got free yet. And if you don't mind me taking another chance, I'd like for the Lord to reach for them again. Is that all right with you? Amen. I covered your prayers tonight, my preacher brethren. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 26, verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto His disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou will. And He cometh unto His disciples, and He findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O My Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy, were heavy. And He leapt down and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh He to His disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doeth betray Me." I'm going to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on a subject entitled The Eternal Death of Sleep. The eternal death of falling to sleep. We find here, and I know that it almost puts us at a quiet mode to start preaching this. But we find here in the settings of these scriptures that Jesus had employed unto His disciples to entrust unto them His great burden to see that hour of deliverance that was to come. And he asked in all honesty and confidence that they would go with him apart to pray. And while they were gone to pray, the Bible declares, and I'm going to just reiterate again over these things that I have read before I go into preaching. The Bible said that their eyes were heavy and they fell asleep. And Jesus praying and asking the Father that if it be your will, help me that I may reach down through this hour of suffering and save a young man by the name of Noah Phillips. Help me that I may drink this cup, that I fall not asleep in the hour that is so heavy upon us. I feel that in my soul tonight, that if I must say as a minister of the gospel, we have more religion in our world today than they had in any other time of history. But we are producing more sleeping than we are awakening among us. Oh yeah. The Bible also tells us that David cried and he said, Lord, he said, consider and hear me. O Lord, my God, enlighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. There is such a fatal part of sleep in the human body. When I used to be in the respiratory work, they trained us and told us that there is not a more near point unto death than that when a man falls asleep, his heart and body begins to relax. It hits that mode where his nerves become paralyzed. If there is times in his life in process of sleeping that his lungs can even collapse, his brain shut off, and him die in that horrible state of falling asleep. Do you understand that there has been many that has fell asleep and never knew they died? And never knew death was so near them until they opened their eyes in another country, in another place. Oh, that God would get a hold of us in this hour of lethargy, when we'd rather shout than we had to wake up, when we'd rather lay out all night and do worldly pleasure than we had to arise and ask God to enlighten our eyes. Lest we sleep the sleep of death. Help me here. You see, there's such a criticalness of sleep. It numbs the conscience. It paralyzes the mind. Years ago, and I don't want to go into a lot of it, years ago, before a terrible tragedy had happened in our family. I remember one night, about 6 months before it happened, God showed me what was going to take place in that vision, in that dream or whatever it was, in the middle of the night. I was so disturbed by the Spirit of God that the Lord had dealt with me. I saw a horrible accident. I saw a man laying in a pool of blood. I saw another man dead. I saw different things taking place. Hear me tonight. It was a time that I was so afraid. I went to the individuals and I warned them and told them of what to come. 6 months later, I stood on the accident scene where they pulled my brother out of that vehicle, plowed in the pool of blood. My brother-in-law, who died and went to eternity. I'm here to tell you tonight, when you are asleep, you can get a warning, but it won't affect you. Do nothing for you. It won't arouse you. It's only men that are awake. It's only individuals that are conscious of the hour. Oh God, help me. I said it's individuals that are only conscious of the hour that we're living in that are going to be awakened. I feel Now, I don't want to say nothing discredited. But I feel something waiting on this meeting tonight. And He don't want it to get out of the rim where it's sitting right now. Sleep is such a horrible but yet peaceful thing. It's a weapon that is so uncertain. We carry it with us. We doze, but we don't even know how near death we are in them dozing times. Help me preach just a minute. You got a man that's got a bad heart. Sleep is his worst critic. It's his worst enemy. When he's got a bad condition, he can take and tell you all day long, I feel good. But if his heart's enlarged, he's got congestive heart failure. Sleep sometimes, it's his enemy. Are you hearing me? I'm feeling in this building tonight. We've got congested heart failure among a whole lot of folks. It's overtaken and swollen by a wild pressure that shut out the light of God, that shut out the light of holiness. Oh, hear me tonight. I tell you, it's going to be a midnight. The Bible declared it. It may not be as a midnight that we know of an hour of 12, but it's going to be a midnight visitation that's going to arouse you, sir. That's going to awaken you, and you're going to be left behind. Sleep has been crept in, Brother Lord, on us unto what was the theme of the church and what was the highlight of our shouting and what was the entire focus point of our experience. The coming of the Lord. You can preach on it now and you just get dry buckets. Nobody's happy to hear about the return of the coming of the Son of Man. Are you hearing me in this house? Hang on to your seat if you want to just sit there and look at me. I tell you, there is a sleepiness that's got a hold of us. If there was such a thing as you being awake to the hour that is upon you, I'm made to believe that there's some things our preachers wouldn't have to preach, or some things our churches wouldn't have to go through if we were in that garden a praying and a seeking the face of God and a weeping before God. Hey, sir, hey, ma'am, you ain't going to get sin out of your life by attending church. You're not going to do better by coming to the house of God. You're going to have to find that place of prayer. God Almighty, help me here. We must awake out of our sleep. Help me a little bit, brother. You see, we got so many folks that are so scared to be awakened. I went into dorms this afternoon. Where's Canaan? Come here, buddy. He'll tell you. Who's this?
Papa.
That's right. Brother Joe's mom and daddy died some years ago before him and Sister Lisa ever had any children. And he asked me, he said, will you be my children's grandparent? And they don't have none on my side. I don't want to say this to be mean. I took Brother Joe out of a worldly church and I said, come go with me. Yeah, yeah. I want to drop this in for good measure. If you're sitting in a church, that's your convictions, and you're more awake than your preacher is, you better get out of there. Are you hearing me? If you're sitting in a building, and you're more conscious of what evil lurks around us, I'm not talking about a good man struggling. I'm talking about men that are filling the pulpit, and they're asleep. A teacher's teaching classes that are only teaching what they like. They're not teaching the Bible. I felt that of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me in this house? I'll tell you why sin is running rapid. I'll tell you why things are going on like they are. It's because we're asleep. asleep. I went in that dorm this afternoon, Brother Ralph. Canaan was laying there on that cot. His eyes, he didn't know it. Nobody knew it. Sometimes I believe God lets us see some things just to show a little more enlightenment. I went out there. That little boy was laying on that cot. His eyes were half open and he was looking around. But I could pick his arm up and he'd drop it. Just be loose. He'd drop it back to his side. I want to tell you something in this house. There's folks in this building. We're singing, we're preaching, we're dancing, we're running. But we ain't all the way awake. We're conscious that something is going on around us. But it ain't enough to wake us out of our sleep. I tell you, I feel like preaching. I tell you in this house, when Jesus walked off from his disciples, they knew he was a praying. They knew he was a crying. But it wasn't enough in the fact of him knowing it. That wasn't keeping them awake. I'm here to tell you, sir, until you get a blood-bought, born-again experience, you'll always battle going to sleep and being worldly. How can you expect a dead man to give life? You see, a dead man ain't no threat to this church. I said a dead man ain't no threat to this church. I'll tell you something. I was walking through something at my church one time, and Brother Benshaw come preach me a meeting. I didn't say a word to him. I was dealing with an issue with one family in my church. I was sitting there, Sister Bailey, on the altar that night. We had a revival and had, what, 7 or 8? That one week went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 5 in one night. I'm telling you, the power of God was moving. That man of God leaned up next to me on that altar. He said, let me tell you something, Brother Phillips. He said, no one family is able to destroy any church. I felt the Holy Ghost whisper to me this day, you can kick all you want to, but you're not big enough to knock people down. That's wide awake. Are you hearing me tonight? I tell them, oh, Sunday, because I, a man that is awake, fighting a sleeping man, he ain't got a chance. I'm telling this church, we better put on the whole armor of God and stay alert. We are more than conquerors. We are victors in Christ Jesus. That ain't making none of you happy. Brother Jerry was preaching this morning about Samson's eyes being put out. You know, the Bible said that the eye is the light of the body. And in that light, there is life. Oh! The Bible says, fools walk in darkness, but a wise man's eyes are in his head. Hey, preacher, I'm here to shout with you. I'm here to run with you. But you know why you can't shout with nobody? You ain't all the way awake. Come on here. Unless you're singing. Don't tuck your head on me. I'll come stand at your pew. Are you hearing me? Unless you're up dancing, unless you're up kicking your heels, you ain't spiritually awake enough to shout with anybody else. And I'm here to tell you, when we're awake, we become a vibrant army. We become a force that's uncontrollable. We become a powerhouse. against the gates of hell. Jesus said it. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and none of us shall, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Are you hearing me? A church that is awake is still victorious over the powers of hell. When you're awake, I need me some strapping young men. Stand at that door, if you will. That's good. When your eyes are awake, there are just some things we don't allow to come in no more. Stand by me here. Pastor, if I get out of line, you pull on these suspenders and I'll close it and set it down. We thought that before we could get them, we had to clean them up outside. I tell you, I feel like my God spoke to me this day. We are losing folks among us because we're making our brags on how little we're running, because we're counting ourselves to be more holy. We think that the lesser we got, the more holy we got. But I'm here to tell you, when Jesus went into the city, everybody wanted to see Him. When Jesus come to town, everybody wanted to talk to Him. It doesn't matter what religion they were. You know what, I set this world on fire again. If God can find a church that's got their eyes open, that's a wide awake, that's not sleeping, but are spending the night in Gethsemane, that's praying out the devil, that's coming against diabetes, that's coming against illnesses, saving the lost. Are you hearing me in this house? There is a danger in you falling asleep and staying asleep forever. You see, when that Bible said to set up bulwarks, does anybody know what that is? Somebody shouted it. They're barriers. I'm going to quote something right here that's going to take some of you super dupers and knock the dupe right out of you. You hear me? You say, who is D.L. Moody? Some of the ones that you read after. You like quoting. But we don't like quoting everything except because it shows up on where we've been living. D.L. Moody said, we can't rightfully call ourselves a New Testament church if there is not somewhere in that pew a phase of the world that we could point to and say they are lost, they are worldly, they're ungodly. He said we rightfully can't call ourselves a New Testament church. I want every pastor in this house to look at me and stare at me. You say, I don't want nothing. You got to say, neither did Eli. But when God got done talking to him, he fell over backwards. You know why we're falling? We have prided ourselves in our seniority, and that's about all we got to show God is how long we've been dead in one service. Instead of coming up with fruit in our hand, fish in our basket, bread in our basket, and saying, the master calleth thee, and he biddeth thee, come and dine, come and dine. I tell you, I don't see how you can preach anything else. It's been the master's call from the beginning of time. And whosoever will, let him come. come and drink of the water applied freely. I feel it tighten up, but I'm going to find you. You know who's to slip past that man that's guarding that door? A harlot. The drug addict. The alcoholic. We just recovered our pews. We don't want that nasty family that's from a low degree sitting on our pews. We may have to spray them with Lysol every service. Man, we've been trying to... We've been trying to kill some of your germs for so long. You spread them all the way through the building. If you don't like what's going on, you're sleeping as you're talking in your sleep. Come on here. I said, you're talking in your sleep. You know why folks leave churches? They're sleepwalking. Are you hearing me? I said, God, hear me in this house. I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me today. He said, I never called men to run from church to church. I'm here to tell you in this house, the reason you're running is the Holy Ghost is after you. The Spirit of God is on your trail. I'm trying to wake you up out of your deadness. Come on. Who's to slip by that man? It's my alcoholic brother. I know them bunch of Holy Ghosts are nothing, folks. Better run out there and start packing our luggage. I'm a feeling my oats. You preach you're so holy that you believe God's a one-shot God. You mess up now, boy, you're out forever. Let's talk about some of the secret things you've had to ask Him over. Let's talk about some of them times you went to Gethsemane and had to pray over a few things that was bothering your heart. Come on here. Shout now! You thought we was just going to preach to the worldly crowd. I'm preaching to a group of folks that knows what it once was like to be awake. But we'd rather have deadness than we had to be awake and have the power! To be asleep, it costs you nothing. You can make up every excuse why you're late for church. You can make up every suitable excuse why you don't pray. I know I'm fixing to get in some trouble. But sir, ma'am, the Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. And He's not holy today and corrupt tomorrow. Oh. You don't give out messages today and try to split the church tomorrow. Stand right here. Right here. Right here. Since He's the host pastor, we're going to use Him. You don't give out messages in tongues today. And then the next time He preaches and busts your hide, you're against Him. Real Holy Ghost individuals said, line me up. Straighten me out. Anybody want to rally to that? The Bible said when He comes, which is the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He shall reprove a world of iniquity and ungodliness. If you claim the baptism of the Holy you're going to love. It's God's correction. God's pulling. God's jarring. God commanded you to wake up. Because the Holy Ghost ain't going to do anything that grieves God.
Come on, come on.
Who slips by that door? That alcoholic man? Wise men, they're sensitive. I don't know why I feel like saying all this. I ain't even using my notes. It's a piping in me. But the Bible said a fool uttereth with all of his mouth. But a wise man holds it until afterwards. You know why some folks can't deal with you? Because you won't shut up long enough to let them show you how much asleep you are. Come on, stand with me here and help me now. Yeah. When Jesus walked over to them disciples, Brother Bailey, and he looked at them and he said, "What?" You know, it's literally amazing. I mean, you don't understand. Oh, I know I'm going to get some of you folks that don't like preachers upset. But the nearest thing to God you're going to get this side of eternity is a God-called pastor. No, he's just a man. Yeah, that's what you told your children. That's why they're praising that man down the road that's got two or three wives. Don't mess with it. It won't be healthy. Oh, that's just Lord. Men that are awake recognize the weight. My little children in my church, from the minute they start talking, ain't got nothing to do with it. Hey, parents, start teaching them. That's Brother Noah. Come here, Cindy. You're my sister. My flesh and blood sister. Somebody thinks we're twins, but it's not so. I'm older and she's younger. Get over here. She was up in Chicago for a family reunion or around some of our kin folks. And they look at her. You know, all you hair brains, this is my sister. They looked at her. She told me this the other day. Was we up at the parsonage, our sleeping house up there. My wife and her and I was sitting around talking. Said some of the family asked me one time, said, "Why do you call him Brother Noah?" Said, "Because he's my pastor before he is my brother. And this man needs to be your pastor before he is your kin." Notice the scaredness when they brought the sick unto Jesus. They all wanted to approach him very reverently. And they wanted to approach him very kindly. They didn't want to offend him. But oh, when he wasn't just doing what they wanted, they said, "He ain't nothing but a sinner like the rest of them. Hey, come on here. He eats and drinks with them. He bows, he goes out with them. Hey, come on in here. Come on in here." I'm telling you, the reason the moral decay of the wells fell. I'll tell you why. God determined in the beginning that the church was to be the buckle on the belt to hold the world in submission to God. And when the church fell out of submission with God, the world went chaos and turned their streets into hell. You understand? When that Bible said that all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. You great Bible scholars, that word turned there don't mean it's in a position of turning. It means a transition, a character. Disposition turned into a total different human being. It links right back to reference, Brother John Cordell, to that scripture when the man of God looked at Saul and told him, he said, when you go, you're going to run up on some other men and you're going to be turned into another man. What are you saying, preacher? I'll tell you what I'm saying. How many school teachers we got in here tonight? Lift your hand if you're a school teacher. Hear me in this house. You must testify, stand up to the fact our schools have turned into hell. Our teachers are being bombarded. They don't know whether they're going to live from one week to the next. Why is it? The Bible said hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. There once was a time that the church was wide awake and she kept hell back. She kept the forces of the enemy at bay. I'll tell you why she's a running rabbit. There's a sleepiness that fell over us. We are no different, Sister Mary, than when them children of Israel looked at Moses and said, we loathe this light bread. We don't mind looking holy and acting holy, but we're just about tired of folks preaching it to us. What once was fresh bread out of heaven has now become tiresome for us to swallow. I'm glad the Holy Ghost knows what He's doing. I'm glad every one of you are sitting right where you're at and not on that back. I'll tell you what we need is we need more of y'all that'll get up and look at this young generation of girls that are sitting across the aisle from you. He said, if you're going to ever see the sick healed, if you're ever going to see blinded eyes open, if you're ever going to see a flood tide of souls come in, you're going to have to love God, forsake the world, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not, handle not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself. I gotta hurry. What are we needing? I'll tell you why there's so many folks not delivered. This has been on me all week. I'm not just saying words. I love great men of God. Brother Ralph, I leaped to my feet today in that room upstairs. I believe it was today, wasn't it? Or was it last night? Last night. When I picked up my telephone and there was a voicemail on it. And on the other end of that line, when I tapped into it, Brother Russell McDonald was on the other end of my cell phone. I've been praying, fasting. Everybody knows what happened to him. I don't mind telling you. I wept and I cried and I said, God, we got men that don't care nothing about preaching right. And it just seems like some of our men are being targeted by the gates of hell. Come on in here. I said, come on in here. Why do we got men that are suffering such sicknesses? Why do we got them with broke foot? And they're trying to run a pastor in church and do something for the kingdom of God. Hell from beneath is moved to get a hold of them. But I'm here to tell you the consolation of it all. Stay awake. Hell ain't able to defeat you. He gave us enough power over the powers of hell. Instead of faith being vibrant, fear has took a hold of us. I picked up that phone. I pressed my numbers, got into my voicemail. And these were his words. He said, hey. And I picked up on that voice. I said, he's back. I talked to his wife just a week or so ago. She said the doctor said it was going to be a long haul. He's to preach our camp meeting this year. I sat in that meeting and Alabama, while he was preaching one night, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what the devil says. You hear me? I was sitting there in that meeting and God spoke to my heart and said, ask him to preach your meeting this year. I walked outside into the fellowship hall. I got out there, Brother Cordell, sat down right in front of him. Me and Brother McDonald's great friends. And I said, Brother, I said, God spoke to my heart and told me to ask you to preach my meeting this year. He said, "I these were my words. I said, pray about it. He said, I ain't got to. He said, when I walked out the side door tonight, he said, the Holy Ghost told me to preach your meeting this year. I like that kind of booking agent. Can I just brag on the Holy Ghost just a little more? Anybody that's got him don't like sleeping. You ain't helping me, are you? Young girls, I'm telling you, I'm fixing to preach something to some of you young girls that may cost you your relationship with the little blue-eyed boy that you're so called infatuated with. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and he don't care about getting it, you better get rid of him. You better suck him off. You better stay awake. You better not let sleep get in your eyes and cause you to lose the Holy Ghost. Sleep? You don't understand, Mama. I love him. No, you don't understand. You're about to lose the Holy Ghost. I felt something just flipping me. Some of you are so sympathetic with sin, you ain't nothing but a spiritual liberal. That's all you are. You don't... Can I have my liberty to say what I want? You don't date a Baptist boy that's against the Holy Ghost and say, I'm trying to win him. He's Catholic, but he's a good boy. Hogwash! He worships Mary. He ain't got no use for Jesus. Awake. I'm not saying it won't be painful. Don't get me wrong. She's out of my church. Stand up. I love my children. Her mom and daddy got saved in my church when she was about a year and a half old. Her grandma come to me one day and she told me, you don't mind me saying to you. Her grandma come to me one day and she said, brother, I hope nothing ever happens to you. I said, what do you mean, Sister Janet? She said, if anything ever happens to you. I said, Nikki, said if you said it was raining, she's going to put on her raincoat. Count it what you want to, but they'll grow up staying awake while yours fall asleep. You ain't nothing but a hireling, you hear me? When you look at your young girls and you tell them, work it out for yourself. I understand why you say it. You're just as much asleep as they are. That little blonde-headed... Has he got blue eyes? Ow! That little blonde-headed blue eye didn't want the Holy Ghost no more. And every time you come to church, can I preach this? You always had to pump his well to get water out of him. Don't marry him. You'll be coming to church by yourself while he's at home watching television. Thank God, are you hearing me in this house? The Holy Ghost visited me this afternoon. He said, tell him, I said, stay awake. The hour's late. My coming is at hand. Somebody shout hallelujah. Asleep in your finest hour. Some of you parents, you know, I know it's God's will for me to be here. I'm not saying that lightly. But you hear me in this house. When Jesus spoke the words, He said, in them last days, there'll come a famine, but it'll not be for bread and water, but for the hearing of the Word of God. Can I get anybody in this building tonight that will be honest in the Holy Ghost reading your heart where you're standing tonight? Say, preacher, I'm a hungry individual for God to read me, feel me, shake me, deal with me, and run me over! I thought I'd get a whole lot more hotter response than that. After 45, 50 minutes of preaching, it looked like on the Holy Ghost shaking in every limb in this house, it looked like he would want to stand up and say, God, wake me up! Wake me up! Wake me up! Don't let me sleep! Statistics show I used to have to, and Brother Carl and Brother Randy and some of these other ladies in here that are nurses and stuff know what I'm talking about. When I used to hook people up on little babies up on apnea monitors and BiPAPs, CPAPs for adults, and you know what I'm talking about. Sleep then becomes their worst enemy. Because when you're shallow with breathing as it is, the longer you sleep, the critical you become. Help me, medical folks. Am I right? They told us the reason that air is there is for what the rest of their body is failing to produce. We are given to them to keep them alive. But you don't understand the benefit of having a preacher with his eyes open. It's keeping you halfway awake. And we're still pounding on it, hoping you'll wake up. I could go on, but I'm stopping right here in just a few minutes. I feel such a loose spirit. Can I say that again? On the last night of youth rally, I feel such a loose spirit with our young people. Somebody called me the other day and said, I know I'm going to get some of you upset. Called me the other day and said, "Hey, have you heard the good news?" And I said, "No, I reckon it depends on what news you're talking about." He said, Randy Travis got saved. I said, "Wow, he did? Yeah, he's quit singing country music and he's singing nothing but gospel." Well, if you listen how he whines, you'll understand why the country didn't want him no more. So you know what they had to do? Turn to the church. Because they knew sleeping people would accept anything. Where's my mama? Hey, baby. It wasn't too long ago. Just what, a couple weeks ago, we got word. Old Randy's down in the Wild Adventures doing a country show at Wild Adventures. If you don't know what Wild Adventures is, it's the second devil hole other than Six Flags in the state of Georgia. Yeah. So you know what happens? You're going to leave me. But you know what happens? Elders that fall asleep, they start taking our children to skating rinks, bowling alleys. Drop them off at Six Flags. Spend one whole week down in Walt Disney. Gripe about taking the youth camp and giving them an offering to help support the work of God. And you tell me you're awake? The blind lead the blind. They both
fall in the ditch.
I've obeyed God here tonight. I preach what the Holy Ghost told me. You're looking at one little fat preacher. Brother Ron, I want to stay awake. It may be my brother I may be kneeling with next week in an altar. And I want to stay awake so I can call heaven down to help him. Give me 5 minutes and I'm out of your hair. But I've got further to drive tonight than anybody in this house. But I'm here to tell you. I told the Lord some years ago. I said, if let them all fall out with me and hate me. Brother Jeff, I told God. What I had to say didn't bother me no more. I'm not shaking over it anymore. If you'll anoint me to say it, I'll say it. You know why? Let me separate our youth here for a minute. You know why some of our elders looking at me a little different tonight? I jarred the bed where you're sleeping. And you're like Canaan. You got your eyes now halfway awake. But if you don't wake all the way up, and fall back to sleep, worse is it going to be for you. I'm finished. Without anything being said, I told you that vision God showed me. I sat straight up in the bed. The Holy Ghost showed me that horrible, horrible incident. I ran to the people as quickly as I could. I grabbed my little brother and I said, Merle, you don't get right with God. I said, a half a mile down this road, God showed me a terrible accident. And I said, you're going to go near hell if you don't get a hold of God. My brother-in-law, Miles, was in a backslidden state away from God. I ran to him and I told him, I said, Miles, God showed me you fixing to leave your wife and go to another woman. I said, you better get a hold of God. I said, your days are numbered. He was a dead man. 1 month before the accident, I got up that Sunday morning to preach. My sister, Cindy, got saved. The night before Miles got killed, Cindy was backslid. I got up that morning, Sister Hampton, and I preached on people's lights going out on their way to hell. Conviction fell. My brother-in-law broke out of that pew, Brother Ralph, and ran to that altar. And over an hour, he pulled at himself and screamed and cried before God. Got up from praying that morning. Went home that Sunday afternoon. Didn't put a bite of food in his mouth. Monday morning, woke up. Didn't put a bite of food in his mouth. Monday evening, he come in from work. Preacher friend of mine who is now backslid and gone. Went to see Miles, and Miles threw his hands up in the air and he said, the curse is lifted. He didn't eat no more food Tuesday. He didn't eat none Wednesday. Wednesday night, I got ready to preach and conviction fell. Cindy and my sister and my other sister run to the altar. And a young girl that's still saved, Brother Beavers, in our church today, fell on that altar that night and got received and got right with God. 7 o'clock the next morning, day number 4 or 5, 5 if you want to count the day he started, no food or nothing in his body. He got up, got dressed to go to work, got in his vehicle. My brother was staying with my mom and dad at that time. To make a long story short, I went down there to spend a night. I had my own house. God told me to go spend a night with him that night. I didn't have no idea. I'd done for God everything. 7 o'clock the next morning, somebody come pounding on my bedroom door. Said, get up. There's been a horrible wreck at the end of the road. I jumped up and I ran, got in my clothes, got in the car with my dad. We flew down the highway. I went to the end of the street, and God bear me record this day in judgment. It was like I stepped right back in that vision and started reliving everything all over again. I saw the blood on the highway. I saw the blood everywhere. I saw that tractor trailer that smashed that car all the way from the bumper, the back bumper, to the dash. The whole car wasn't but about that high. He come running to us and said, brother, I knew the man. I used to work at the fire department with him. He said, we got him out. I said, you didn't get him out. You didn't get him out. I said, there's one more in there. He said, no, there's not. We got him. He's barely alive, but we got him. God told me Merle was going to live, but not all the way. He was going to be almost dead. They climbed up underneath the chassis of that truck. And they looked and they saw his legs. And they said, there's one more. An hour and 45 minutes later, I stood there and watched him when they zipped him up in the bag. Carried him off. What are you saying, preacher? He woke up 5 days before he checked out. He woke up 5 days before he checked out. I feel the Holy Ghost settling in here. You and I don't understand how close we are to death. This is a fact. First 2 hours of your morning that you wake up are the most critical of throwing your body into a shock of a heart attack. And I'm not trying to scare you. Because when you wake up, throw that body back into motion, you send a charge to that heart and that body. It gives it a charge, and if that heart's weak, it could kill you. I'm not trying to scare nobody in this house. I'm here to tell somebody in this building, God told me to tell you, you better stay awake. Won't you stand with me all over this house? Play something. I'm sorry if I bore your time. But I feel like the message for me, and the message for you in this midnight hour, stay awake. Stay awake. I appreciate the Lord moving last night. I appreciate the Holy Ghost moving Wednesday night, Tuesday night. But I'm telling you, this day, I felt a heavier visitation from God on the last night of this meeting. God saying, they better stay awake. Brother Jerry said it. And Brother Beavers came in and said it behind. There's a good chance some of you may not be here next year. Can you let this little young fat preacher speak to you elders just a minute? there's a good chance we may not see you no more. There'll be a train come by. It'll pick up some passengers. And it'll take some home. We'll not see you. But you leaving ain't the question. The question is, did you leave awake? Or was you asleep when you left? Sir, the issue ain't, I feel the Holy Ghost to reach for somebody in this house. The issue's not what you got to give up and what you got to come out from. The issue is, are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? And I beg you as a man of God, don't go to hell. Don't do it. I'm not a smart man. My young years of preaching, God took me on a mission to hell one time. If you knew, if you only knew how horrible it is to go to hell, you'd pull your hair out right where you're standing. You say, preacher, I'm lost. I know I'm lost. I'm asleep. I've not been awake in months. I ain't had a move of God in months. Oh, God, please help me. Oh, God, don't let me fail right here. Don't let me fail right here, God. You may be in a hurry to get a hamburger, get a hot dog, but hell's in a hurry to carry you to out of here and be lost forever. He don't want you to stay saved. Oh God, don't let me fail right here. Please don't let me. We got time for God to reach for somebody. Yes. Sister Mary, I don't mean to refer to you so much, but just as an elder, I saw in a vision my wife's two cousins got killed in a car wreck. They had them in the funeral home, and I stood at the edge of that coffin. I say it. I don't claim to be much, but I stood there, Brother John Cordell, and God took me to where them girls were at. I saw them both in hell, fighting and clawing at one another, raised in a holiness home. What was their name? Sissy and what? Sissy and Stephanie. I saw them having handfuls of hair, warring with one another. And I begin to cry within my heart. Everybody that dies don't die right. Doesn't matter how much they are told that they were okay. God holds the final record. If you left here asleep, you'll wake up asleep. You'll wake up asleep. I beg you, I don't want to leave this meeting tonight and get in that Suburban and drive home I'd like to drive home with my heart saying, God, thank you for bringing him in. Thank you for bringing her in. A certain man wanted to sell his house in the country of Haiti for $2,000. Another man wanted to buy it, but because he was poor, he could not afford the full price. After much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the original price with just one stipulation. He would retain ownership of one small nail protruding over the door. After several years, the original owner wanted the house back, but the new owner was unwilling to sell. So the first owner went out and found the carcass of a dead dog and hung it upon the single nail he owned. Soon the house became unlivable. The family was forced to sell the house to the owner of the nail. The moral of this parable is, if you leave the devil even one small peg in your life, he will return and hang his rotten garbage on it and make it unprofitable for Christ's habitation. Preacher, I don't cut my hair, but I got a problem with lust. He's hung a carcass on your door. God help me. Preacher, I don't go out and dress ungodly. I don't let my hair grow down my back. But I got a problem with bitterness and unforgiveness. He's hung a carcass on your door. And do you know why you can't see it? And why you become immune to the smell? It's because our eyes have fallen dim. Therefore, we don't feel no need to wake up. But I'm here through the power of the Son of Jesus Christ, through the Son of God, the blessed Savior of the world, to tell you tonight what you can't take off the nail, Calvary can. I'm here to tell you what you can't get rid of, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash out of your life. Come, Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to make a public fest to anybody in this house. I feel there's some folks in this building underneath the sound of my voice are standing in some critical hour. If I've ever felt to die tonight, to say I've obeyed the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you in this house, there's liberty here in this building for you to be saved. If they got a song they want to sing, I'm here to ask you in this building, while every head's bowed, every eye closed, I know I borrowed your time. I'm asking every elder, saint of God in this building, don't get weary with me. Help me pray for somebody. Do you want to go to hell? I don't mean to be so blunt, but is that what you want? If that's what you want, God's gracious and kind enough to not override your will. He'll give you what you want. But He's loving enough to reach for you tonight and tell you, I want to save you. Right here tonight, if you're here and you're lost, sir, I ask you to step out of that pew. Ma'am, I ask you to step out of that pew. I felt God deal with me on two altar calls here tonight. Don't get weary with me. Making a plea for your soul. second, sir, ma'am. If you don't come honest with God, it'll be a testifying that you'd rather stay asleep than you had awake. It's not a shame to say, preacher, there's some things in my life, some convictions that I got. Gray hairs have now slipped into him. It's like he said about Ephraim. He has gray hairs and he knoweth it not. Some convictions have done got old. You don't hold them like you used to. Sleep has set in upon you. I'm going to ask you. The shame ain't you saying, God, help me stay awake in this midnight hour. Did you hear me? There's no shame in that. The shame comes when you refuse to come and acknowledge, I'm sleeping. I don't want to be awake. But I felt the Holy Ghost charge me just then. I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ. Upon the authority of who I have preached His gospel. To step out of that pew in the name of Jesus. And say, preacher, I want my eyes awake in this midnight hour. I want my eyes awake in this. Thank God for this sister. Thank God for that sister. You ever heard that old worldly statement? Honesty's the best policy. God already knows whether you're asleep or not. You're not hiding it from us. Some of you grandparents, some of you parents, you're going to let your children beat you to the altar. Some of you young sisters have shouted and spoken tongues all week long, going to sit there idle this week. God, there's things in my life I must confess after fellowship meetings over with, after rally's gone, it pops back up. I want to stay awake to keep it out. Come on here. Oh, preacher, we got to go home. I wouldn't be worried about leaving this building until I knew I was awake. Until I knew I was awake. Awaken me. David said, enlighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That eternal sleep of death. Everyone that will, from the front to the back, will you come? Let's gather in this altar. God, when did it ever become a shame to come to the altar? When did it ever become a shame to come to the altar? Oh, God. Jesus, awaken us, oh God.